At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome in, second hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app, the Hillside Medical Game Studio, Joe Rex Road, Adam Vingan, his final day of a week in for beachbound Robbie Stanley. You've been awesome this week. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have, Mr. Vingan.
I have, and I got a nice compliment on the text line you read to me.
You want me to read that?
Yes, I want everyone to hear
these
this.
These are my words. These are not my words, okay?
I want everybody to hear this.
Will from Bellevue says, Adam has been great. Accurate, articulate, intelligent, measured. So unlike Jared. More Adam, less Skip Stillman. Will, a little bit mean, Will. Come on. Although apparently, like, at some point I have to, like, listen to, like, Jared's irrational. Jared apparently literally thought, like, yes, go watch the practice. Dude, can you guys help me out? Like, someone else argue with him for me. Can someone help me out?
It's not as fun when anybody else argues with him, though.
How could anyone listening has to know that I was being facetious, especially when I said, I'm being facetious. Anyway, tons of reaction here on the text line on Willis Woodside. We'll get to that. But I want to give a pair of tickets right now. I'm feeling very concerty today. I'm going to be rocking out in the city of Nashville tonight. So I got a pair of tickets to the Pilgrimage Festival, September 24th, 25th, at the park at Harlansdale Farm in Franklin. Artists include Chris Stapleton, Brandi Carlile, the Avett Brothers, Jean Baptiste, Better Than Ezra, and more. So caller number 5, says Michelle, you will win those tickets. And if you'd like to participate in this discussion, the phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let me get to a few of those first of all, because there's a lot. And I hear this one a lot too, Ethan from Lawrenceburg. And I understand the thinking here. I'll take Willis and just keep two QBs. He isn't any worse than Woodside.
Would you rather have Mike Glennon as a backup quarterback?
Ooh, there's a thought. Ray in Clarksville says, I know it's preseason football, but any QB that we play won't have a chance if our O-line gets manhandled like they did last night. Don't look too much QB performance. Look at the OL if you're watching film. I think that's a good point. JC in Goodsville, I go Willis, the threat of a backside bootleg run makes one or two players not pursue Henry as hard, which is huge. You also get Willis in space with run-throw option where he'd be most dangerous. Vrabel wants plays made. Willis can make so many more. I understand that, but again, like in this league, you know, you've got to be in the pocket. Like the Titans just played the Ravens. Ravens are an example of a smart coach adjusting his offense to a little bit different kind of quarterback, right? But Lamar Jackson can still step in third and nine and rip one exactly where it needs to go, exactly on time. He's done it over and over and over again. He's the freaking MVP of the league. So, like, in this league, you're going to be in those situations where, like, the only thing that can work in a situation is in the pocket, 3 or 5 step drop, see the read, get to the next read quickly, get the ball out accurately, on time. You got to be able to do that over and over and over again, no matter what, in this league to have success. So I hear you. Again, I mean, there's no comparison between, like, the playmaking potential or just the talent of Woodside and Willis. It really just is the timing right now going into a season of what are you better at with? Or that was terribly stated. You know, how are you better? The game manager who's been here forever and knows, you know, the playbook, you can recite it just like all of us can, like, recite our ATM, you know, passwords.
What's yours, by the way?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, I thought it might slip.
That was Bosco. That was good.
Bosco. Hope you get that reference. Or the rookie who, again, is exciting, is more talented. And look, again, if it's long-term, first of all, if it's long-term for Tannehill this year, I'm going to tell you right now, this team has no chance of making the playoffs. I will absolutely feel great saying that. It's not a playoff team. So it's long-term, then you take the opportunity to let Willis be a starting quarterback in the NFL week after week and just see where that takes you. But if it's short-term, I'm still thinking that it's Woodside.
Yeah, you just have to think about what the Titans' margin for error is, you know, as they, you know, attempt to make it back to the playoffs. Think about the teams that are ahead of them in the AFC that are clearly ahead of them. You know, think about the teams that are, you know, in that same group. You know, there aren't, you know, there isn't a lot of room for error, I think, with the Titans, if they expect to actually, you know, succeed this season. And I think if it, like you said, if it's short term, if you know that Ryan Tannehill is just going to sit out one game, I think there's less risk in Logan Woodside than there is in Malik Willis. Now, to the, you know, many texters have pointed out that Willis can help you win a game by making a play that Logan Woodside can't. But Logan Woodside is also probably not going to do something risky to lose you the game and throw a bad pass or cause a turnover or what have you. So, yeah, I think Woodside, you know, is he's really nothing special, but he probably, you know, he's the perfect live to fight another day quarterback. You know, just have him in there for a game, have easy throws, give the ball to Derrick Henry a whole lot, hope the defense does its part, and live to fight next week when the quarterback comes back.
Yeah, so it was very interesting last night watching the game. So watching Twitter, actually for me it was I got a direct hit, so then I quote tweeted it. I did the Andy Staples, who is a habitual quote tweeter. But watching the game, because look, even from going back to the spring, it was like, you know, it was like get Woodside out. I mean, look, there was some like get Tannehill out, Malik Willis, right? So it's been, you know, and I think a lot of that has been muted as we've kind of seen this happen. But so Will Friedrichs on Twitter at Nash Clips Fan tweeted at me, "Your theory that Woodside should be the backup is destroyed tonight. An awful display." And so I quote tweeted that and said, "Let's, are we going to do this?" And then, well, frankly, we did it. It was interesting going through all that in the, you know, the later stages of a game that was frankly very difficult to watch at that point. I mean, preseason games, we know what they are. Late in those preseason games, whoo, it gets a little dicey, but everybody gets a chance to get on the field. Meanwhile, so that's going back and forth all over the place, Titans fandom. And then then Mike Vrabel had his evaluation of Malik Willis, and here's what he said.
Yeah, I think it was okay. I mean, there was some sloppy, you know, stuff, but got us into the right plays and just went down to execution.
How about how he was processing things? I know you mentioned the timing, but is that what you're getting at with the processing?
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It's a new experience, you know, for all these guys. I mean, we got a lot of rookies on this team, and there's going to be a lot of guys that, you know, will continue to develop and get better. Want to make sure that they're competing each and every day, and they understand how difficult this league is, and you know, especially as a young quarterback, you know, to step back in there with a live rush, and, you know, seeing coverage, and you know, that's why we had these preseason games. That's why I wanted to put out there. That's why I wanted to take the ball, and you know, to put him in those situations. That's the only way that you can grow. And again, he keeps plays alive with his legs, and we just have to be able to combine some of that with making great decisions when guys are open and being decisive and accurate with the football.
So Vrabel also, here's another quote from Vrabel about Willis. Quote, he needs to try to throw the ball when guys are open, be more decisive, so we'll evaluate that, see if there's a timing issue or what's going on. But just wanted to get him out there, wanted to see how he responded, and he did okay. There's some good plays, and obviously some plays we're going to have to look at the timing on the release and if we're making the right decisions, end quote. Also said that he pulled him after that last Malik Willis run. He did break the pocket, made a play. I don't remember how much he gained there, but he got a little decent run, and Vrabel pulled him because on that play he wanted to throw the football. As he just said there, that's why they took the ball. They start him. They're trying to get as much as they can out of this evaluation and these opportunities. And so I would say Vrabel's evaluation, first blush, and sometimes film changes these evaluations, was lukewarm. Would that be fair? Lukewarm evaluation on Willis?
I feel like everything Mike Vrabel says is lukewarm.
Well, there's some truth to that, but there have been good performances by players that he's acknowledged, mm-hmm. You know? Like, if Willis did everything they wanted to last night, I don't think Vrabel would have come in there gushing about it, you know? There's a certain, like, and sometimes he tries to contain himself, even if he is kind of excited about something. But that's not what last night was. I mean, I don't think he loved what he saw. He knows already that Malik Willis, he knows what his ability is. He sees it every day. He also knows how far he is from being able to come in on a Sunday when a defense is game planning against you, when they're disguising their coverages every single play, when they're blitzing all over the place, and being able to handle that. I will say, at least with the Ravens, the great preseason juggernaut that they are, they do blitz a lot in these games. I will. So, I mean, at least you get that look if you're the Titans. But another thing on that is, like, when Woodside was in, I don't know how much they blitz, but boy, were they in his face every time he got the snap.
Yeah,
Titans may be a little weak there at the lower reach of their offensive line depth chart. When we come back, we'll continue the Woodside Willis discussion, but also we need to probably talk about other things that happened last night. So we're going to explore some of the other things. There's a lot going on with this football team, and we did see a few glimpses of maybe some clarity on some things with this team. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You know, we got a lot of rookies on this team, and there's going to be a lot of guys that, you know, will continue to develop and get better, and just want to make sure that they're competing each and every day, and they understand how difficult this league is, and you know, especially as a young quarterback, you know, to step back in there with a live rush and you know, seeing coverage, and you know, that's why we have these preseason games. That's why I wanted to put out there. That's why I wanted to take the ball, and you know. To put him in those situations, that's the only way that you can grow. And again, he kept some plays alive with his legs, and we just have to be able to combine some of that with making great decisions when guys are open and being decisive and accurate with the football.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You can watch us streaming live, did you know, on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Okay, so I figured this was going to happen. We've talked about the backup quarterback all day. I think that the next two shows on 102.5 and 106.3, I think there'd probably be some variety on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. And I think that, by the way, is it Caroline and
Caroline
Big Joe?
Caroline Fenton and Big Joe, correct.
Caroline and Big Joe. I mean, I don't even know if Big Joe may not have watched a football game in the last nine years, so who knows where that show may go. Just kidding, Big Joe. But I have a feeling that the 2-6 program, we'll talk about one topic, and this will be the one. However, I think that we should also get into some other things. So we'll keep it going on Willis Woods' side. I think we've explored it pretty thoroughly. There are a lot of things that happened last night. So I'm actually going to put you on the spot, Adam. Take that out of it. We knew all along Malik Willis is going to be the story of preseason games, and frankly, he's put oxygen into these preseason games, which are largely dreadful. Aside from that, what last night grabbed you and just shook you and said, this is interesting?
Well,
and if it's nothing, that's okay too.
The thing is, what I was going to say isn't something that grabbed me and shook me, but I thought I would see a lot more Treylon Burks than I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't get a lot of opportunities, and some of that could be because of the quarterback play. But I was hoping that he would flash. And he had an opportunity to make a long touchdown grab that was Logan Woodside,
yeah.
Probably underthrew a little bit, and that would have been good to see. So I don't put it all on Burks that he was out there being invisible. I just thought I would see more. I think he was only targeted one time the entire game, and that play. I think they had a designed run for him at one point. So, you know, you understand how, you know, if you're trying to get an understanding of how exactly Treylon Burks is going to fit into this offense, I'm not sure you really saw that last night. And again, it might not be all, it's not all of his fault. There were mitigating factors in that, but I was hoping to see more from him, and I didn't.
Yeah, that, and just real quick, I have to, because you know that I am the pronunciation police. Treylon Burks, not Treylon.
Sorry, I did okay. Fix it the second time.
Okay.
I did fix it the second time.
I apologize for not, Treylon Burks. Okay, good job.
Yes. Treylon.
Ooh, and a mute issue.
First mute of the week,
Friday,
I think.
Friday, baby.
Treylon Burks.
So the Treylon Burks thing is interesting because he did not, so first of all, for those who weren't weren't keeping track or whatever, a whole bunch of Titans weren't even there. Like, this was not at all a representation of the Tennessee Titans as a football team. Henry, Tannehill, Byard, Simmons, Hooker, Lawan, Nate Davis, Ben Jones, NWI, Bud Dupree, DeNico Autry, Harold Landry, on and on and on and on. And then some people are banged up. Elijah Molden, still banged up. Someone asked on the text line, Megan, says, I was looking forward to watching McCreary. He didn't seem out there. Why do you think they chose not to play him? And then also, did you see the Titans players using a Ravens mouth guard? I did not see that. But McCreary has missed a couple practices very recently. He's got something. I don't think it's anything serious, but that's an injury. They would have played him. They would have played him quite a bit. We'll get to Burks, but of the key players who are going to matter for this team, who played last night, you had your starting cornerbacks. You had Caleb Farley and Christian Fulton. You would have seen McCreary. I believe you would have seen Molden, too. Both of those guys are banged up right now. Offensive line, you had Aaron Brewer, who right now is the starting left guard. He started at center because Ben Jones was not going to touch this game, which meant Jamarco Jones, who is right now not pushing Aaron Brewer at left guard, by everything I can tell, got the start at left guard. But other than that, you know, Lawan's not out there, so Nate Davis not out there. Basically, you had your right tackle battle on display. So you had two of your starting corners, and I do think they're going to be starting corners this year. And you had your right tackle battle, and then you had the receivers. And that's the interesting thing on Burks for me here, Adam, is that, see, there's a lot of guys who don't play, and that means either they're hurt or they're too important to play in a preseason game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have reps and where guys play. And I was a little surprised that Burks, from what I could tell, you know, watching live, Burks didn't get into the game for a little bit. You know, so that was, and I was actually surprised he was playing as late as he did, too. That was a little bit surprising. I don't know that I'd read too much into it. Last night's starting running back was Julius Chestnut, who, by the way, looked pretty good, had a 29-yard run, also had a fumble, which you can't have. But he's been good in camp, and I think he got rewarded. He was playing near home. Burks, I agree. I thought if he was going to play, that he was probably going to get more opportunities. He didn't until later in the game. So, again, I wouldn't read too much into it other than I think Treylon Burks, for as good as he was early in camp, has hit a little bit of a wall, and I think they'd like to see a little bit more from him. And this is going to be a big, big week ahead for him. He's going to be – he has to be an important part of this offense. You also would like to see him come away with that play if Woodside put a little bit more air under that, like a little bit. And I think he probably gets that in the end zone, and that's a big deal for him. And maybe some of the Woodside-Willis stuff is not as intense as it is today, too, with just that one throw. Again, like that's basically what there was to evaluate. The corners, you got some other defensive depth. I thought Theo Jackson last night was good. Mike Vrabel wanted to see him tackle. There's no tackling. And Theo Jackson came up and made some plays. Actually, he saved Christian Fulton when Christian Fulton got stiff-armed on an early run. And Theo Jackson came up and cleaned it up. I thought he was good. I think he's trending. He and A.J. Moore are trending toward that safety depth and maybe them being okay there. Chance Campbell at inside linebacker, guy trying to make the team, provide some depth. I thought there were some good things from him. And then the right tackle situation. Who's your starting right tackle based on last night?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I still think that the Titans are trying to make Dylan Radins happen, like making Fetch happen in Mean Girls. they're trying to make Dylan Radins happen.
Stop trying to make Fetch happen, guys.
Exactly. I feel like Titans fans are at a point where they're about to say that to Mike Vrabel. Stop trying to make Dylan Radins happen. But I still think that that's what they're trying to do, even if Petit Frere, may have had. Has probably had a better camp or a more noticeable camp than Dylan Radins, according to you and everybody else who's out there. It's still a question. I mean, as you said, no Taylor Lewan last night, no Ben Jones, no Nate Davis. So, it wasn't a starting caliber offensive line. I don't think anything. I mean, I don't know if anything was answered in that regard last night. I mean, what do you think?
No, I don't think anything was answered. I thought both. Again, watching it. Yeah, look, watch the game. Finished up something I've been writing on the Titans for a while. By the way, I've got like 2,600 words on the Titans or 2,300 or something at theathletic.com. I prefer quantity over quality. So I did not like go through each play. Actually, our buddy Mike Herndon had an interesting tweet who apparently he did go through it. So here's what he said about the two tackles. And I definitely value Mike's opinion. He said, Rayburn got the first snaps at right tackle. Yeah, it was very solid. One missed punch and pass pro, got bailed out by the right guard. Good in the run game. I liked Radins last night. I thought he looked good. He said, Nicholas Petit-Frere was up and down. Looks the part, is more powerful, no doubt about that. Gave up two pressures, whiffed at POA once, stepped in the wrong direction once. So watching it in real time, I thought both of them looked fine. I don't know who they're blocking on every play. Petit Frere had a really nice kick out, perfect execution on the Julius Chestnut run. And, yeah, he is. He's bigger and he's more powerful. He has great feet. I think there's a lot to like about what he can be as an offensive tackle in the NFL. Again, it's timing with him, too. Comes down to the question of, how quickly? I think that competition could potentially continue into the season. I think I'd still stick with Radins as my prediction to start the opener, but I think that he could be overtaken by Petit Frere. And then there's a really interesting scenario that could result, and we're going to get into that next on Robbie and Rex Show at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robert Rex. I just want to let that play. So, that song, this is how much of a nerd I am about the Chili Peppers. They played that song two nights ago in Atlanta, and they barely ever played it. It was the third time they played it on this tour. And so they're probably not going to play it tonight. So it's kind of heartbreaking, actually.
Are we getting you pumped up for X-Road?
I am. But I even told Jack, I was like, they played Sir Psycho Sexy, so they're not like they never play. They're not going to play it two nights in a row. I'm begging you, Anthony Kiedis, if you are listening to Robbie and Rex Road right now in your hotel room, please play that song again tonight. Come on, man. Play it. Play as much as you can from Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Listen, if they play it, you know it's because you just said that.
I think Anthony Kiedis is a big local sports talk radio guy.
You don't know that he isn't. He may want to weigh in on, Malik Willis, Logan Woodside.
He likes to get a little bit of local color everywhere he goes.
That's right.
So he just, he stopped on 102.5.
Or maybe Flea. Maybe Flea's listening. I don't know. Just play that song tonight. Come on, guys. Do it for everybody. Do it for us.
Do it for old Rex Road.
That's right. There's a lot in the text line today. You people are excited about the Titans and the takeaways. That's great for a preseason game because you just don't always have that. On the offensive line situation, here's what could happen. Petit Frere could win the job. He could win the job going into the season. He could be the right tackle. I think Petit Frere is going to be – I think he's going to be the Titans' – long-term right tackle. And I think they may have found a good one as they did when they drafted Jack Conklin 6 years ago. Now, look, Conklin was all pro as a rookie. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't know that he's going to start. I think at some point this year, I'm going to guess that Petit Frere is a right tackle. So then the question is with Raidens, who, look, I mean, I hear what you're saying on Make Fetch Happen. I think we should acknowledge that Dylan Raidens has improved. He has worked hard, and I can't sit here and say, although offensive line remains the question, the concern, I can't sit here and say he has no chance of being a solid offensive lineman in the NFL. There's a lot of factors with him. We've talked about all those. But what could happen here, and this is where you look at left guard, where he played basically last year. You look at Aaron Brewer, who they love. There is the size issue, like it or not. I mean, that's a real thing in the NFL. But here's an interesting thing from Dylan Raidens. I asked him basically about the idea of, what if you had to move back to the left side? So the thing you got to remember about Dylan Raidens, playing on the right side of an offensive line happened for him for the first time last year as a rookie with the Tennessee Titans. And that is it. I hadn't really thought about it in these terms. So this is his quote to me in The Athletic. I asked him, what would happen if you had to go to the left side? Quote, I would say it would take me about 20 minutes, bang some rust off, and be good to go. The left side, I don't know if you've heard this analogy, but when you switch sides, especially left tackle to right tackle, it's like wiping your butt with the opposite hand. Like, it just doesn't feel right. End quote. And I had, that's an interesting. First
Can we
of all,
unpack that? Let's unpack
I
that.
Mean, you can unpack, just, unpack it.
I unpack might be the wrong word in that regard. But, okay.
Do whatever you like with that, okay?
Now I'm going to be extra cognizant of which hand I use to clean myself.
But if you really think about that, and it can be other things too, right? Dominant hand.
Today's challenge for Robbie and Rex Road listeners, wipe your butt with the wrong hand and report back on Monday with your findings.
Oh my god.
Or now, if you do it, but if you use the restroom between now and at the end of the show, let us know.
Wow. I asked for this, I guess.
I mean, is this better or worse than the Tommy Lee thing yesterday?
Oh god. I think this is still better than the Tommy Lee thing, and I continue to apologize for that.
You have that relationship with your listeners. You guys can talk about bathroom habits.
Yeah, yeah. We can talk but about I, darn but near
I,
everything.
But I get, I mean, it's interesting just because one would think that a lot of the skills, I mean, a lot of the skills do translate, I imagine, moving from one side to the other. But if you are ingrained to know what you're doing on one side, you know, I have to imagine that your natural impulses will, you know, you're battling your natural impulses when you switch sides, and that is difficult.
Yeah. So there's two future possibilities. If I'm right about Petit Frere, I think the long term, the Titans are going to be happy about that pick. It's like, I feel, you know, we've talked about Malik Willis all day. I basically start out cynical about any quarterback coming this league and actually being what people hope when they draft him. Like right now, again, I'm not predicting Malik Willis becomes like a starting quarterback. He could. I love his talent, love his attitude, intelligence, approach, all of that, but it's very, very hard. Very few people can do that. I feel a lot better about Nicholas Petit-Frere being a good starting right tackle in the NFL. If that's the case, and Dylan Raidens is good enough to be a starter, and he may not be, could Dylan Raidens, one, be the left guard this year? Could Dylan Raidens, two, be the long-term left tackle? You know, at some point, it's going to be time to move on from Taylor Lewan. Carries a big number. It was definitely the right move to keep paying him this year, no doubt. But could Dylan Raidens at some point slide over there and be good? Be good enough? I don't know. That's asking a lot. But that quote from him tells you there is just a natural feel for that side that he has. And so it's something to keep in mind. Someone just texted that Jimmy Wyatt has his snap counts, which is always interesting. Now, you know, it's preseason game. But some interesting ones here. You've got, Chance Campbell played a ton. You know, Jack Gibbons, Dr. Jack, played a ton. I mean, a lot of last night was evaluating individuals as you're trying to form a roster and figure out a practice squad and things like that. That's just what it was.
Mason Kinsey, the clear leader on offense and snaps. 74% of the snaps.
Is that right?
Yes.
See, that's interesting.
Burks, 48% of the snaps.
Yeah, so that's also, like, I didn't realize that either. So with Burks, he was out there a lot. Just didn't get the ball. And, yeah, someone else pointed out on the text line, like, they didn't throw. They didn't get balls to receivers very much at all.
No.
Ken said that, and you're right. I mean, basically, you know, when Willis was at quarterback, you know, they schemed up a couple of, you know, a little bootleg to the fullback, a little bootleg to the tight end. And then there were some plays where the ball could have gone to receivers, but, you know, he broke the pocket. Or maybe check down. Woodside was checking down. Again, some of that is defender in his face immediately. But, yes, the receivers got very few targets, actually. So Josh asked, do we take away more from the receivers when they're playing with Tannehill against the Bucs and Cards? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be going against starting corners in the NFL. That's where the preseason games just – I'm sorry, but they just have – they just have their limitations. Boy, now we got some fun with the Dylan Raidens wiping quote.
I am not looking at the text line.
Yeah, well, this is quoting Jared. I don't give two poops. You didn't read my text. Would have been a good segue for the other Titans. Guys, thank you. I'm always looking for good segues. That would have been good. That is one of Jared's pet phrases. But you've got that. You've got the offensive line situation, and you've got the corners, the receivers, as we said, didn't get a lot of work. One guy who, again, showed out, Racy McMath, gets the big play. Racy McMath also looked good on a kickoff return. That guy is – there are going to be camp mirages every year. Like, look, Julius Chestnut is a good story. It's cool that he got the start last night. You know, just pump the brakes. Is Julius Chestnut going to be on this football team? I don't think so.
Got to give credit to Joe Dubin for a tweet he had last night that had me actually laughing out loud. He said, after the Julius Chestnut fumble, Chestnut roasting on a waiver wire.
Holy crap, that's pretty good,
Big Joe. It was good.
I have to tip my cap to you, Big Joe. I thought you were going to say it was like another Joey Chestnut joke, but a lot of those are coming up. Chestnut roasting on the waiver wire. Oh, that Big Joe. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, look,
And Racy McMath will be on the show later today.
He will be, and that's not why I'm saying this, but there are things that are real, and there are things that are that are to be taken with a grain of salt. A lot of the things that aren't real happen in preseason games because it's just you're not going against starters in the NFL. That's why, look, Willis starting last night is good because it's the best look you're going to get. You got some guys who are going to play for the Ravens on defense. Not a ton, but a few. But so much of what happens in those games, it's just guys trying to make rosters against guys trying to make rosters, right? So, yes, to answer your question, the receivers against starting corners in those joint practices tells you more. And Racy McMath showed out last night, but Racy McMath on a daily basis is getting reps, important reps. Tannehill throwing him the pass. Titans corners, Fulton and Farley, and Byard is out there, and Hooker, like, that's who he's going against, and he's making plays. And that's what you have to remember. That just means so much more than what you do in these games. Always something to keep in mind. Derek on the text line, thank you so much. Sir Psycho Sexy is the name of the song. Good call. Would love to hear it tonight. Let's hope, Derek. Let's hope. Now, when we come back, I'm going to rant. But right now, I've got to talk a little bit about Souls for Souls, because we were all kids once, showing up on that first day of school in new clothes, new shoes, ready to go. Always a big deal. It still is a big deal for kids. But there are thousands of children in Middle Tennessee who are going to be embarrassed on that first day because they don't have a decent pair of shoes to wear. We want to change that. Souls for Music City is our cause. Please consider joining us with a simple $20 donation. It's all it takes to put a new pair of athletic shoes on the feet of a homeless child in Middle Tennessee. So text DONATE 615-737-1025 right now and help make a difference in the life of a single child. That's DONATE to 615-737-1025. Thank you for your kindness. Every single day this week, there have been text responses to DONATE after we talk about this, which is so awesome. Do it again. We'll be back. Robbie and Rex show 1025-1063 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Rex Road, slapping the bass.
What if you could play bass like Flea? Listen to Flea on that bass.
No one can play bass like Flea. That's what makes Flea Flea.
God, this is going to be so amazing.
Is this the first time that the Rex Rant has been preceded by
a song I love?
A song you like?
I think it is, but it's
well,
fitting.
It just got you like amped up.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I am amped up. But actually, this is what I'm ranting about too. I'm ranting about young me. Okay. So I hope I haven't told this story on the air. This is one of the problems. Like, everybody has a limited – I got some stories, you know? Like, you've heard a lot of my stories, Vingan.
I've heard a lot of your stories.
Oh, you've heard some stories, buddy. And poor Michelle is continuing to hear more and more.
I live through young Joe.
Yeah. But young Joe, this is a full circle. This is almost like Lion King, okay? Like, circle of life situation. So – I apologize if I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it now. Again, the fall of 1991, I was but a freshman at Michigan State. I lived in Shaw Hall, and next door to Shaw Hall, basically, right across the Red Cedar River, but basically next door, like a block away, the Auditorium, which is this amazing old theater, a place that, you know, bands would come through and would play Breslin Center, which is the big basketball arena, right? Big, like I saw some Smashing Pumpkins there, for example. I did not screw that one up. That was a couple years later. But the Auditorium is just this, like Bob Dylan, like amazing place to watch music, probably most comparable here to the Ryman. I'm not saying it's the Ryman, and the Ryman is...
But in
next
terms
level.
Of size and yeah. acoustics and
yes,
things
exactly.
and vibe.
And, I mean, those places, to me, well, it's hard to beat like the outdoor situation for a concert, like Ascend is so great. But
you're an amphitheater guy.
Yeah, but those places are so cool, right? So this is, you know, I could actually probably find the exact date. If I'm going to just go ahead and just open this wound, I could probably find the exact date. Because I am, as you've asked, I am totally a set list nerd, and I've gone back and, like, concerts I went to in the 90s, and, oh, yeah, I forgot they played that song, Seventh, okay? So that's how much of a music
October
nerd I am.
23rd, 1991.
There you go.
October, the Michigan State University Auditorium?
Yes.
East Lansing, Michigan.
Yes. October 23rd, 1991. I was a freshman in college. I had a big test the next day, okay? I don't remember the class, but I had a big test the next day. My buddy Blake, Blake Williams, shout out. He was a sophomore. I was a freshman. He was the guy on the floor who was the first to buy Nirvana, and he blasted it all the time. We're like, what is this? Like, it was. He blasted Red Hot Chili Peppers all the time. It was the most incredible year of music, new music. He had an extra ticket to Red Hot Chili Peppers that night. Someone had flaked on him, and he offered it to me for $5. To go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers touring for Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which, if you don't know, is one of the greatest albums ever made. It is their masterpiece. And to think about them at that time touring for that album, first of all, that hurts. Also, there were two opening bands, Pearl Jam and Smashing Pumpkins, two bands I had never heard of at that time, opening for the Red Hot Chili Peppers that night at the auditorium. I turned it down. $5. $5. I turned it down because of my freaking test.
I don't even remember what the test was.
And I don't remember how I did.
Or how, yeah, you could have failed it.
I would fail it a million times right now if I could go back. Okay.
That is Jack's advice as he heads to college.
Well, that's the thing. I want to take it easy a little bit, but yeah, kind of. I mean, So a couple months from now, so let's fast forward to probably like January, February of that school year. I am listening to Smashing Pumpkins all the time. I am listening to Pearl Jam 10 all the time. Smashing Pumpkins, Gish. Like, again, the most incredible year of music, period. You won't tell me otherwise. And I have realized at this point that Blood Sugar Sex Magik by Red Hot Chili Peppers is maybe the best album I've ever heard, and I can't stop listening to it over and over. So if I had that information, I would have jumped at it, and I would have said, take that test and dump it in the Red Cedar. But I didn't. I didn't take it. I didn't go. And I still talk about this because this is my biggest music regret. But tonight, I am going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers for the first time. And so I'm very excited about that. The Strokes, too. And I am going to take a young man who is going to be a freshman at Michigan State in about 2 weeks. So there is the circle of life. And then the question will be, do I, what Michelle just said, do I tell Jack? You know?
You do, because at the end of the day, you know that you have a job, everything worked out, you don't know how you did on the test, but if you have an opportunity to go to something like that, you do it, you don't get sleep, and you fail that test.
Yeah, but then we're going to be pissed if he fails the test.
But are you even going to know?
Well, actually, that's the thing. Talk about a huge difference in life. We talk about it a lot, too. But, yeah, like, we can track, right? Basically, I mean, I don't know about, like, test by test, but we certainly can track how he's going to be doing in college better than my parents, who would just get, you know, my grades in the mail after every semester, right?
Yeah, but as long as he passes the class, that's okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a certain, is there something cooler to say than like YOLO to this? I
mean, definitely don't say that.
You hate YOLO?
No, it just, you saying it, just something that seems off about it.
of a boomer saying YOLO? I'm not a boomer, by the way.
I feel
you're a boomer, Joe.
There is an episode of The Simpsons where Homer takes Bart and Lisa to Lollapalooza.
Oh, yeah, with the pumpkins.
With the pumpkins, one of the better jokes. Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins. Homer Simpson, smiling politely. but, you know, the whole point of that was that Homer was embarrassing Bart and Lisa at Lollapalooza. And I have more faith in you not to embarrass your son. Just try not to do as much air base as you were doing when we were coming back from break.
Oh, Joe is for sure going to embarrass Jack. Vingan, you have way more faith in him.
I mean,
Joe, love ya, but he's just going to be so in his own zone, just like rocking out, and Jack is going to be like, listen, I embarrassed Jack when I met Jack, and I thought I was cool.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Derek on the text line, drivebywellscanhunter.com says, Joe, please tell me you're a fan of the Strokes as well. Huge. So it's like hours of old dude gyrating in the stands that's coming tonight.
You do have a very eclectic music taste. I recall specifically a drive that you and me and our buddy George Walker
at the St. Louis for the
Predators Blues playoff series, and I think it was 90s hip hop the entire way.
Well, George Walker and I played, I know we played Midnight Marauders by Tribe Called Quest, and we sang every single lyric in your ear to that album. Yeah. By the way, it came out around the same time as this. Just saying. Wu-Tang, same thing. Yeah.
I think you were pleasantly surprised by my knowledge of that era of hip hop, considering I am younger than you.
It was very good. No, it was very, so Jack, back to him, he is an old soul. Like, he's a Zeppelin, Bowie.
He's a classic rock guy.
And he likes some classic hip hop too. So we've done well. Katie and I have done well with him. Some other children, a little more work to do, you know?
But, listen, my girl Caroline, she's got great music taste.
Is Brennan into like SoundCloud rappers?
Brennan is purely into new rap, and I am totally boomer old man yelling at cloud, like, it all sounds the same. You know, they get the voice. What do you call the
auto-tune.
Voice?
Auto-tune.
That's auto-tune?
Yes.
But there's something else it's called,
I'm sure,
right?
There is something else.
It's like verbing, something verb to the voice. It's like,
reverb.
I don't know.
Like, for instance, Nelly, love Nelly, right? But seeing him live, you'd think it's two different people singing.
So wait, it wasn't good live?
No. Listen, love Nelly, love his songs, but just not the best live performer. Had a great time. Not the best.
That's too bad. Because I would hope that would, like, at least be fun. Like, you know, we saw Snoop. Snoop was awesome. You know?
Yeah, but, my dad took me to see Snoop Dogg when I was in high school. I think it was in high school. I may have even been in middle school.
Harlan's a badass too.
Yes,
he'd be rocking out with me tonight.
Oh yeah, he loves the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Loves the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Jacob says, I'll drive to the station right now. Give you a crisp $5 bill plus inflation cost and a hot cup of Joe for the tickets. Now, get out of here, Jacob. Very funny though. Will says, hot take: anyone that plays an air instrument is admitting they have no musical talent whatsoever. I don't. I wish I had learned to play an instrument, but I can play some air bass, and boy, tonight.
Guitar's so hard.
Yeah, anything's so hard. I have zero musical talent. I'm purely a lover of music.
I've played a couple instruments in my day.
Yeah, what ones?
Yeah.
The flute?
In middle school and high school, I was an accomplished trombone player.
We are unpacking so many things today. My goodness. Well, that's been the Rex Rant. Thanks for listening, everybody. I feel better getting that off of my chest. And when we come back, we're going to get back to the Titans and a guy who was there last night in Baltimore, Teron Davenport. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.